Kaya Biz with Gugule Tumfupi on Kaya 959. Inside your pocket on Kaya Biz.
Indeed, you're listening to Kaya Biz here on Kaya 959, and this is where we really get quite personal with our finances. So personal, we call this feature Inside Your Pocket. Yes, because we want to fully understand what it is that we can learn from each other in terms of creating wealth, minimizing debt, and of course, living a life that offers us the kind of financial flexibility that we all desire. As we're well aware, money gives us choices. And part of those choices that we have is how best to save or invest our money. Now, ordinarily, you'd put some money away. And if you are already saving, kudos to you because you've already taken quite a bold step. But as you continue your savings journey, there's an important element to remember. As you save for your goals, to continue saving and having your interest grow upon interest upon more interest. And that leads us to what's often defined as the eighth wonder of the world, compound interest. And many have highlighted that this is a significant term and tool to actually use in order to create and generate the kind of wealth that you'd like to accumulate. To help us unpack this and so much more, we're joined by Gerald Mwandiambira. Not only is he a certified financial planner, he's also the acting CEO and chief strategist at SASSI, the South African Savings Institute. Gerald, always good to speak to you, Mr. G, and thank you so much for making time.
Always a pleasure, Google, and good evening to all the KFM listeners.
Fantastic. I guess first things first, Mr. G, whenever we talk about interest, we always think, oh, great. It just essentially means that the money that I'm putting away is going to grow. But there are some fundamental differences to look out for here. And of course, understanding the kind of interest rate cycle that we're currently in.
Indeed. I think, you know, the concept of interest is quite simple. When you put your money inside a bank, the bank uses your money to lend it to someone else. And that person, obviously, when they borrow money, they pay a higher rate of interest, and that's how you end up getting interest on the money which you are saving. If you invest, it's a similar concept. You simply are allowing your money to be used to buy an asset, and over that time, that asset can appreciate in terms of the value of the asset, which is called capital appreciation, or it can create an income stream in the form of a dividend or rental income. So that's really how it works, and interest is really how your money grows over time.
And that's an important element to know, because I guess we can't influence that, but we can, well, we can't control it, but I guess we can influence it, right? Help us understand that.
Well, you can influence it in terms of firstly understanding that money needs time. So anyone who is out for a quick buck needs to realize that's not how it works. For compounding and interest to really grow, you need to give it a certain amount of time. Now, when they say compound interest is the eighth wonder of the world, they're really referring to compounding, especially when you're talking about generational wealth. Because, you know, when you start looking at a chart or the numbers when you're compounding, for the first 10, 15 years, yes, your money grows. But once you cross like 20 years, the money, I think it's from year 25, starts to almost double every year. Now, most people say, I can't put my money aside for 25 years. But the reality is most of us remember the World Cup, and that was 11 years ago. Yes. And most of us can recall probably when we were in matric, and that's probably maybe 20 or 30 years ago. And had you saved even as little as 10,000 rand, you'd be really looking at a much larger amount. So, for example, I'll do a quick calculation. Had you saved, let's say, 12,000 rand 30 years ago, you'd be looking at an amount which has grown now substantially to 238,000 rand. And it'll continue to almost double from this point.
Sure, Mr. G, that's quite significant. And I guess you already have our attention here. I'm really quite keen for us to actually play the ka-ching money element, but we'll squeeze that in shortly. And that really speaks to not only the growth of compound interest, but really about the capital that one would also gain, I'm assuming, in terms of growth on these savings.
Yes, that 12,000 rand, remember, Google, it's a one-off payment. You never did anything. You just saved 12,000 rand 30 years ago. You'd now be looking at almost half a million rand in terms of the growth of that money at a 10% return, which is probably average for that period for the JSE. Now, obviously, people would point out there's things like inflation, the value of money has gone down. But imagine if you had continued to regularly contribute to that amount, what you'd be looking at. So a lot of people look at wealth generationally. Now, generational wealth, they normally say it's two or three generations deep. Now, if you start looking at a simple amount of 20,000 or of 12,000 rand and you look at two generations deep, so a person's working life, let's say it's 30 years, and two generations manage to keep that money without touching it, that 12,000 rand suddenly becomes 4.7 million rand. So suddenly in two generations, from a humble amount of 12,000, you're looking at 4.7 million rand. And that's what you need to be looking at. If you start looking at generational wealth and compounding, look at your grandchildren or look at your children and say, when their children grow up, I'm putting this money aside for them. Then you'll really start to appreciate it. I mean, people look at the likes of Warren Buffett, who's often quoted as saying it's the eighth wonder of investing. But Warren Buffett started investing around 1950, you know. So he's got 60 years of compounding. Hence why he's up there amongst the wealthiest people in the world, because he's been faithful. He's let his money grow. Our biggest mistake we make is that we eat into our money over time. But regardless, you can generate a nice income from interest depending on how much money you put aside.
Very true. Mr. G, we had to throw it in there because you're giving us hope as to how we can also collect our money bags and hopefully score ka-ching in terms of the finances we're trying to accumulate. If you've just joined us, you are listening to Kaya Biz here on Kaya 959, and we are speaking to Gerald Mwandiambira, certified financial planner and, of course, CEO and chief strategist of SASSI, the South African Savings Institute, as the acting CEO there. Mr. G, you mentioned something so important, and we really want our callers to also start dialing in to share some of their thoughts, even their concerns about how to save adequately and some savings principles that they can abide by capitalizing on compound interest. And just a gentle reminder to our listeners, the number to dial in on is 086-000-959. But coming back to what you mentioned, Mr. G, it's often said you need to save for a specific goal and manage how often it is that you dip into that savings pot so as to not eat away at the growth of compound interest. How do we need to manage that, the dipping in? Because once or twice might be enough, but we all know that sometimes we have a bad habit that tends to evolve and then essentially just erodes the kind of savings that we have.
Well, the main thing, Google, is when you're looking at something you want to save for the long term in terms of seeing compounding at work, you try and choose an investment vehicle which is hard to access, something that won't be easy to just go into. So that's where the likes of the tax-free savings accounts come in. And, you know, sometimes you want to look at, you know, even the shares or the exchange-traded funds where money is not liquid. You know, it takes a few days and, you know, you're looking at a pair of shoes. You can't just go and say, I'm going to liquidate my ETF to buy shoes.
Yeah.
You know, so suddenly the thought goes away. Also, we need to get it into our culture that we need to create wealth for our children. And the easiest way to do that is put the money in the children's names. So instead of having a grand baby shower and collecting 4 million baby toys and clothes, which the baby will outgrow in 3 or 4 months, ask people to bring cash. When that cash comes, open a tax-free savings account for that child. Faithfully contribute every birthday cash into that account. Then suddenly you have a game changer, because by the time that child is 17, 18, guess what's happened? Compounding is now getting angry.
Ah.
Because compounding gets angrier. The longer you leave the money gets even more angry. So if you look at that line in terms of the compounding chart, from around 24, you're 23, 24, it gets so angry, the money doubles every year. That's how angry it gets. Problem is, you need to give it time. So if you really want to experience it and want to test this theory, do it for your child. Do it for your baby who's unborn or a young child now, and see what that money will look like when that child is 21 years. You will be smiling, because suddenly you realize how, you know, the previously advantaged groups are able to live the way they live now, because they've had 50, 60 years of advantage in terms of compounding that money. And that's what we need to do. We need to stop thinking short term, because the formula for money is called the time value of money.
Yes.
The money is just an expression of time. So the longer you leave your money to wait, the more you're going to experience the power of interest. And if you have that lump sum now, yes, you can get a nice steady income stream in terms of, you ask the question, can I live off interest? Yes, you can. But I would recommend live off the interest once you've given it time to grow.
And that's the important element, to make sure that you give it enough time to grow. Well, Mr. G, I tell you what, we've asked our callers to dial in with some of their questions. And we all know that when it comes to money and making more money and making sure compound interest gets angry and grows and doubles, everyone has a vested interest here. Mpumi from Boksburg, you've dialed in with a question or a concern. But welcome to Kaya Biz, Mpumi.
Hi. Good evening. I was going to say good afternoon, but it's just an excitement. Look, thank you so much for taking up my call. And it's a pity that I joined a bit late. This is the program I wanted to get involved with in the early stages of the of your time, but it's fine. So now, I need guys, honestly. I've retired where I was working, and I'll be taking up a job. I put in my withdrawal, Sanlam withdrawal, pension fund forms, and going to be paying some substantial amount of money into my account, having worked for 10 years or so in my at my former employer. So now I need to make the right choices.
Yes.
So the moment I tuned in, you guys were talking about compound interest. Okay, compound interest is, I think, a byproduct of an investment, but I didn't get the sense as to how and where can you accumulate that compound interest. What would the economist that is helping us today advise in terms of my pension fund that I'm withdrawing now? Very critical. I need to make a wise decision before I run amok and start spending it on useless things.
Mbumi, you're very right, and I guess it's a very important question, because I'm sure there'll be further follow-ups perhaps that Gerald would have to ask, or you engaging with a financial planner would have to give you some insight on. But I guess, Gerald, as we do, I guess, solicit a response from Mbumi, perhaps you can guide us into being cognizant of how, when one receives a lump sum, are you able to catch up in terms of lost time to make sure that you're able to generate compound interest, even though you don't have the benefit of time?
Look, when you retire, that lump sum needs to generate income. So you can't necessarily put it aside and wait for it to grow, because the whole point of a retirement vehicle is that you've given it 20, 30 years to grow. And when you retire, it starts to pay back.
Mm.
So typically, he has to make a decision now in terms of how he will get his income coming through. So typically, if you invest R1 million lump sum, or you get R1 million lump sum at retirement, at even a 10% interest, you'll be making about 8,300 for every million. So let's say he retired with 5 million rand. Potentially, he's got an income of 40,000 rand per month for the rest of his life if he goes and buys a traditional annuity from one of the life assurance companies. The question he will have to answer with his financial planner is, can he beat 8,000 rand on every million he has in other investments? Because there are other investments. But remember, risk and return go hand in hand. So does he want to take that risk? What's his risk profile? How does he have other assets which can generate income? All those things come into play. So when you're talking about retirement, you actually working at the end of the compounding, because you want to say, I've reached the end of my compounding and I want to enjoy income. But what I would probably say to him right now is, whatever he does, you must try and select an investment which will protect the capital value. So what am I saying? The principal, the money he's got, there are certain investments which will take out a life policy to say that the day he dies, that money comes back and it goes to his dependents and it becomes generational wealth, even though he has enjoyed the income stream whilst he was in his retirement years. So that's what I would say. Look at something like that, because you really want to leave a legacy. So don't consume your retirement and say, when I die, it's finished. Sorry, these guys must start again. No. The best thing you can do right now is protect that principal, enjoy the income, and probably have a risk-linked product, which means that when you pass on, it suddenly pays back the principal you had today. And suddenly your beneficiaries, your children, have a leg up in terms of the next generation. And we need to get into the habit of, when we have wills, don't leave things to your children. Leave children things to your grandchildren.
Oh.
Because they are now forcing generational wealth to happen. You're now forcing compounding to happen, because if, God forbid, something happens to you, your grandchildren are very young and they will benefit from 20, 30, 40, 50 years of money which Mkulu left. And therefore, when those children are growing up, even in the mansion you left them, they put your picture at the top of the stairs, because they know you are the originator of the money. You are the creator of the wealth. They pay homage to you. You have foundations named after you. but we need to stop eating our seed. Mm-hmm. And that's our biggest problem. We think that when we retire, let's have a party, and then it finishes. And then what happens? Our children have to walk exactly the same streets we did. And we don't want that to happen for our children.
Definitely. Thank you. Helping us visualize that, Gerald, the legacies that we want to leave behind. We've got another call on the line. Muzi, you on the road. Muzi, welcome to Kaya Biz.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I just have a quick one. How do you know? I can hear you saying that. Thank you. But how do you know that you will have enough money between now and 20 years from now, given the current economic status and the political environment that is in South Africa at the moment? Uh-huh. Because we have seen it in countries like Zimbabwe, where people lost out on investments and their pension money. So how do you then have a guarantee that you will have the money when you need it?
Tough question, Muzi. Very relevant, but tough. Gerald, are you keen to respond to that?
Yeah.
Sure.
Yes, definitely. How do I know I'm going to have enough money for retirement? Basically, you need to have roughly 30 times what you were earning when you were aged 25?
Yeah? Yes.
30 times whatever you're earning at the age of 25 will ensure that you have enough income when you retire. Currency risk. That's what you're talking about.
Yes.
Don't
sure
put
my
all your
safe.
Eggs in one basket. That's the Zim scenario. The Zim scenario is simply that the Zim dollar disappeared and everything that was saved in it also disappeared and went poof. Now we have the privilege of being able to invest in multi-currency assets. So Kaya, who are listening right now, you need to make sure you have some investments which are locked in US dollars, some investments which are locked in euros. So you try and diversify that risk, because yes, even the rand carries currency risk. So we need to have that. Also, in terms of your long-term investment, try and also invest in some commodity type investments like gold. Mm. You know, as much as people say physical gold, where am I going to keep it? No. I want you to make it a point to this year. Go buy one gold Mandela Kruger coin and keep it and look at it in 2-3 years. You'll start realizing, hey, I should be buying more of these. There's different ways of accessing and tapping into those kind of investments. They're not traditional investments. They're classified probably as alternative investments.
Sure.
But you need to diversify your risk in terms of your exposure.
Definitely. I'm glad you mentioned that. Quite important that we underline and underscore the currency risk and avoiding that, because there's a lot of concern about the noise in the market at the moment. We've got one more question from Tembi, Gerald, Mr. G. We've been keeping our listeners very busy. Everyone wants to know how to make sure that they make the best use of their savings. Tembi from Roodepoort, welcome to Kaya Biz.
Thank you. Sorry, I'm just going to put my radio off.
Perfect. That's a good start. But you can go ahead with your question, because we can hear you quite clearly, Tembi.
Okay, brilliant. Thank you. My mother will be retiring in a few months, and she's a state worker. And they generally retire with the state. But she's opting to take a different route and actually invest and earn interest.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been a very difficult process where we were trying to understand what's the difference between investing and actually buying a life or living annuity. And some of the challenges that we've been receiving, where people are saying that it is not a good idea to retire privately and rather remain with the state. But from what Mr. Gerald said, I relate to what he said, because a lot of the financial planners we've met with have sort of directed us the same route of earning interest. So I just wanted to just verify what the financial planners were saying.
Fantastic. Whether to go private or keep to the government pension fund, right? That's what the clarity you wanted.
Yes, that's
perfect.
Correct.
Fantastic. Okay. Mr. G, if you could go ahead, sir.
Okay. When you retire, you want to secure an income. Now, that income can be done by going and purchasing what they call an annuity, which is in layman terms, a pension. So basically, if you go out and you've got R1 million, most life companies will pay you between 3,000 and 8,000 rand for your pension, which means you're going to get 3,000 to 8,000 rand for every million for the rest of your life. It's guaranteed. Whether you live until 90 or 130, doesn't matter. They're guaranteeing it. Now, the GEPF is unique in that it's a defined benefit fund. Most funds abolished defined benefits a long time ago. They're all defined contribution. Now, defined benefit means that they define how much you're going to get when you join the fund. So they tell you, if you serve the government 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years, this is the pension you are going to get. What I found is that for smaller amounts, the GEPF pays better amounts than traditional investing investment annuities on the market. Mm. So what you need to do is to sit down with a financial planning professional who compares how much your mother is getting in terms of what the government can promise her as a pension versus what she could get if she were to go out privately. But generally, I find for smaller amounts, better to stay in the GEPF, one, simply because they pay better pension in terms of an annuity payment. Also, because by remaining there, you also remember you get medical aid and a lot of benefits which remain with you for life. And as you get older, medical expenses become serious business. So as much as someone might tempt you to say, take that money, liquidate it, let's invest it, you must realize, oh mama, it's going to need medical aid. And now when you're 65 plus, you're looking at medical aid at around 7-8 grand a month. So it's not child's play. Mm-hmm. So in essence, I would say you need to sit down with someone to help you to work this out. And remember, financial planners don't all specialize in retirement. So you need to go for someone who specializes in retirement, someone who will have your best interest at heart. So if you want, you can catch me offline. But what I would say is it's a very tricky situation we're in, because a lot of people make that mistake of getting out of GEPF when they could have been better off remaining. And sometimes it's good advice to simply tell someone to stay there. And yes, as a financial planner, you're not going to get paid. But that's why you're going to go for a financial planner who rather will charge you for their advice and not for what they sell you. Because yes, the guys who sell, they're after commission. No matter what you go, they're going to prescribe a headache tablet and they want to get paid.
Exactly. If I'm not mistaken, Mr. G, that goes back to a defined benefit pension fund versus a defined contribution.
A defined contribution.
Aha,
yes.
Perfect. Makes a lot more sense.
So defined benefit funds are really good, which is why, you know, as much as people may say being in employment of the state is not that great, if you can look into that defined benefit fund, the GEPF is excellent in terms of the benefits you get if you do long service for the state.
Makes sense. Mr. G, you've really helped us in terms of understanding and unpacking some of these nuances, and I guess certainly have helped Tembi as well with independent advice in terms of guidelines that she can follow with regarding her mother's pension fund. Thank you so much for your time, Mr. G, really helping us unpack something that's always close to every South African's heart, and that's savings. How best we can grow our wealth. And whilst we kicked off the conversation unpacking compound interest, which definitely needs time, so make sure that you start as early as possible, as Mr. G has recommended. But even once you do want to withdraw upon the savings that you have for yourself or for future generations, make sure that you get the right kind of advice and solutions that you can implement. Mr. G, thank you so much for your time once more this evening.
Always a pleasure, and good evening to all the guys and listeners.
Thank you so much. That's Gerald Mwandiambira. He's a certified financial planner, acting CEO and chief strategist at SASSI. You can always find him on social media as well at Mr. G, but specifically on Twitter and a few other social media platforms. To our callers, Tembi, Mpumi and Muzi, thank you so much for your questions. We trust that we've been able to answer them effectively. But I guess rule number one, as soon as you are able to save, start saving. Try not to dip into those savings. And once you do have to withdraw your savings, specifically when it comes to a pension, make sure you get some solid advice just to understand and unpack how best you can live off the interest while the capital continues to grow.
Inside your pocket on Kaya Biz.
Kaya Biz with Guguletu Mfupi.
Monday to Thursday, 6 to 8 p.m. on Kaya 959.